We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mike DeCourcy talking college hoops with Mully and Haw. The Sporting News, Big Ten Network. He's a Liverpool supporter, but we let him on the show anyway. Mike DeCourcy on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Layla Rahimi from NBC Sports Chicago in for Mully this morning. And we are pleased to welcome Mike DeCourcy from The Sporting News. He joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Hotline, home of $7,000 off on Jeeps. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, David. How are you?
Doing well. You were there yesterday, and you wrote a great column on sportingnews.com. You really captured everything it was to be there in Columbia, Mike. And I know that's that had to be one of the – it was the game of the tournament so far. When you wake up this morning and you remember back what that was, how number one, what do you remember the most? And number two, what do you think the significance – to this tournament is in that, did it make Duke look vulnerable?
You know, the first thing I would say is what I remembered is Aubrey Dawkins' arm above the rim, the ball tapped, and thinking, oh, I mean, and I think pretty much saying out loud, oh my God. I mean, at that moment, I mean, no one got up there with him. Zion was blocking out. Javon Deloria did not see him coming down the lane. He was all alone, and it was him and the rim and the ball, and I think he put it up a little hard, and it bounded off. And if it had, you know, if he had tipped it right, we would have had one of the great upsets in the tournament. I know it's only a 9-1, but you're talking about the 1 overall seed and a team that up until Friday had never won an NCAA tournament game. So that's what I remember. But I would caution everyone. Look, I'm not saying Duke's a perfect team. They clearly have outside shooting issues that are unlikely to be resolved by the pressure of the NCAA tournament. I mean, they may surprise us and go out and have a game or two where that's a difference maker for them. They are not a good shooting team. That's beyond dispute. But Central Florida, UCF, with Taco Fall out there, and I said this in advance of the game because I watched them a lot, they change everything about how you play because of Taco Fall. I mean, he commands so much space in the lane, and it's so hard to operate against him. And he sucks so much, basically, life out of the opposing team. And Zion Williamson had 32 points, and until he made the last three, he barely knew he was out there. I mean, the most dynamic player in college basketball in a generation, and Taco Fall made him disappear in a lot of ways. So I would say usually tournament games are their own entity, and if you go back over the course of teams' national championship runs, you can often find, not always, but you can often find a game that the team was fortunate to win. And UCLA in 95 had to have Tyus Edney go coast-to-coast. Christian Laettner had to shoot the ball with 2.1 seconds left to beat Kentucky in 92. All those things didn't impede those teams from winning the championship. So I might look at last night as being like that, but even more of an anomaly because of Taco.
Mike, you mentioned the shooting struggles that Duke had, and maybe that was something that we've underrated in watching this game, was Johnny Dawkins' game plan to make sure that Duke was forced to have to go to that.
Yeah, you know, he did a really nice job with that in this sense. I mean, like I said, Taco himself, just putting him on the floor is all you have to do to get teams to have to depend a lot on their outside shooting. But even more so, it was genius when he matched Taco Fall, who is 7'6", against Trey Jones, who I believe at best is 6'2", and had him guard Trey Jones. And what do you mean he's guarding Trey Jones? Well, Trey couldn't get by him because there was no room. And so Trey, when he made a play, either had to give the ball to someone else or he had to try to take a shot. And Taco was basically hanging out in the middle of the lane. And if Trey started to shoot it, he would then take one step, reach up, and make the shot I mean, it was like the most amazing closeouts you've ever seen because he only had to take one step and reach up and
raise his hand. That's it.
And that's it. And Taco had forced Trey to wind up shooting 1 of 8 from 3-point range. I mean, that's, you know, like I said, they don't need a lot of help to miss shots, but that was an occasion where, as Layla said, Johnny really did a nice job of figuring out a way to even exacerbate that problem.
Joined by Mike DeCourcy from the Big Ten Network and the Sporting News here in Mullane Haw. Mike, so you take a step back. It's Monday morning. People are looking at where their brackets are in the Sweet 16 as a whole. And you look at the field, and I said earlier in the program, is like Cinderella wasn't invited to this year's big dance. There's only one double-digit seed, and it's hard to look at Oregon as a team like Loyola, as a team like in the past where we've had that typical storyline where they shouldn't be there. What does that say about this field, about the way that the committee set up this tournament, and does it take anything away from it in your mind?
No, it doesn't take anything away from it at all. I mean, we're going to have one of the really good Sweet 16 rounds we've ever had. I mean, every year I rank the Sweet 16 from 1 to 16, and that article will be up on sportingnews.com later today. And when I looked at who I put 16 this time, I'm like, oh, my gosh. I've never had a team at the bottom of these rankings that I thought had any chance at all of winning the championship. I mean, usually there were three or four or five that you'd say, there's no way in heck that's going to happen. They're really lucky to be here. They're very happy to be here. And this will be the end of the road somewhere along the line. They are not winning six games. I can't say I strongly don't believe that the teams in the bottom of my rankings are going to win six games. But I'm not sure I can say definitively that no one that's left has at least a sliver of a chance.
Mike, going back to that Duke game, it's funny because normally when we talk about that team, the overwhelming majority of who we discuss is Zion Williamson, 90% of the time. But we talked about Taco Fall so much because of the impact that he made. How much did his Q rating rise and the attention around him rise and just the awareness of him and his talent because of the performance he had on that stage and the significant impact he made in that game?
You know, Layla, what's amazing about that is, I mean, he played, I don't know, 20 home games this year in Orlando, and they had two crowds. Their arena seats about 9,500, give or take. And they had two crowds that were above 40, or that were certainly above 5,000. They had one against Houston, I think was in the sixes, and then their season ender against Cincinnati was above 9. I don't think he was capacity. They may have called it capacity, I'm not sure, but it wasn't at the number that's a listed capacity. And so here, there he is in Orlando, and no one's paying attention to him, basically. And he's been there. He's been 7'6", and this interesting, for 4 years, basically. And hardly anyone paid attention. And then you put him in the picture with Zion Williamson, and people saw, hey, this could be interesting. and a lot of us wrote about it on Saturday for Sunday. And now we've seen what can happen. And Taco did a great job. He played phenomenally well. He did foul too much, and the one that's going to haunt him and haunt UCF, his second foul, I believe it was. He'd already had one in the bank, and he went up for a shot, and Javon Delorier from Duke blocked his shot, and he got frustrated, and he fouled as the rebound was semi-available, and that was the one. Because all the other fouls, I mean, he spent them hard, I mean, including the last one. And there are people who are arguing that Zion got away with a charge and it wasn't really a foul on Taco. And I mean, you can see the wish in these tweets and discussions. You know, if you're inside the charge circle, which he was, and you bring your arms down, which he did, you're going to get called for a foul almost every time. And so that, you know, that foul that got him disqualified was certainly valid. But he did. When he was in the game, UCF was 15 points better. He was a plus 15. There was no one in the game, including Zion, who was close to that number.
Your stats on what they shot with him in the game and out of the game were really telling, Mike. I mean, when he's on the bench, they shot 62% with him on the bench, 37%, I believe, when he was on the floor, and that kind of makes your point for you that this was the most dominant guy and the most impactful player on the floor, and that's a floor that included Zion Williamson.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, my nephew asked me the day before the game whether I thought Taco was a legit NBA prospect, and my answer was, you know, I mean, he messes up every team. I mean, including yours. I mean, he changes who you are. But I don't know, maybe, you know, look, he's a capable basketball player. He can catch. I mean, he dunks without jumping. He has a reasonable touch around the goal. Teams get, you know, when he's got the ball, teams get away with a lot because he's so big. So I think it'll be interesting to see whether anybody is interested in having him on their side. I certainly think someone's going to put him in the summer league and see what they can do with him, because this, you know, he's not. We've had 7'6" guys or in that neighborhood before, but no one ever who could move like him and who had the command of the lane like him. Sean Bradley could move like him even better, but Sean was so thin and not strong. This kid is really powerful, and that makes an enormous difference in a game.
Before we let you go, Mike, looking at the rest of the field, boy, Carson Edwards from Purdue had a game of his life with 42. They look like they're getting hot at the right time. Texas Tech with Chris Beard, I don't think anybody can overlook them. Houston, to me, is dangerous with Kelvin Sampson being. That's the first time I think they've been this far since 1984. And then there's Auburn with Bruce Pearl, and all they do is win. And that's when you look at the rest of the field, Mike, is there a team out there that you think, boy, they're getting hot at the right time, and they are very dangerous?
Wow. I think I would look at Oregon as being a team that as the only double-digit seed. Their defense, the zone defense that he's figured out, they are really dynamic. I don't think people realized as they were stumbling along how long they are, how bouncy they are. Louis King has done a really nice job, and Peyton Pritchard, who got Oregon to the Final Four a couple of years ago, seems pretty determined to go back. So I think he'll be a really difficult challenge in the Sweet 16.
Great stuff, Mike. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you on Friday.
Thanks, Dave and Layla. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News and Big Ten Network.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.